What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Cheeky Midweeky, where we are making strength and conditioning not boring anymore. Today's episode, I am joined by Coach Mark Cristiani, who works in tactical strength and conditioning. We have done over 30 episodes on the tactical world, and we are continuing to dive down this rabbit hole because I think this is something that most strength coaches need to look into. When you look at the world of the four Ps, tactical strength and conditioning can scratch that itch for you. No job is perfect. I know that. There's strength coaches that have lost jobs in the private sector, the professional setting, college setting. We all have no perfect jobs. I think tactical is something that you need to work at. That's why I've continued to bring these episodes for you. Before we get into today's episode, please hit that subscribe button. It helps our show grow and it costs you $0. It also costs you $0 to rate and review the show. If you do so, we will give you a free gift. So take a screenshot of you rating and reviewing the show, email that screenshot to us at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com, and we will give you a free gift for doing that. Here at Strength Coach Network, we pride ourselves on giving you the best quality information from strength and conditioning coaches and practitioners that still work with or have worked with athletes. This is not theory. We are always about giving you practical information that you can apply day one, the minute you're done listening to this. And you can check us out for a $1 trial in the link down below. Click that link and find out more about us.
Hey. You know, it just be like that sometimes, right?
Yeah, sometimes it just... it is what it is. And now there's like a bird outside and I'm like, this is great.
This is great. It's going to give our strength. Some of the strength coaches listening to this, you and I had a great conversation off air a while back, but some of our strength coaches haven't gotten outside all day today. They've been trapped in the dungeon. And so hearing birds chirp and seeing the sun outside for you, like that's going to bring them some joy.
Yeah, it might. It might. As someone whose gym is outside, spend a lot of time outside.
Yeah, no, I mean, speaking about outside and when we were, you know, talking on the phone, we talked about the fact that like we have to coaches spend time on the system, not just in the system. And so like how to make things more efficient and let's kind of continue from there for everybody listening right now. Actually, before we do that, introduce yourself. I completely take for granted the fact that we've been talking for a while before we had this podcast. So introduce yourself so that way everybody is aware of who you are, and then we'll dive into working on the system versus in the system.
Yeah, sure. Hey, I'm Mark Cristiani. I'm an O2X human performance strength and conditioning coach. I'm currently working on a contract with the U.S. Army Reserve here in Florida. I've got about 4,000 or so Army Reserve soldiers that I help out with strength and conditioning services, education services. We do some mental performance stuff. We do a lot of nutrition for them. And it is an offshoot of the Army's H2F contract. We are the reserve H2F pilot with the contracted personnel. There's four of us coaches around the country right now.
Yeah. And a lot of people are like, that sounds dope. I want to do that.
So to those people, I would say it is great. It is great. It would be infinitely harder if I hadn't served in the Army and had a background in the Army. Because I just like knowing who to go to is a huge important factor of this job, especially since you don't have a lot of support. You're just by yourself. So like today we didn't know who to go to and we spent a whole day running around trying to figure out who to get to like certify our computer access. And it can be a task.
You know, actually, Matt, I had Matthew Matua on the show before, and I apologize if I butchered that last name, Matt. Like, I am so bad at pronouncing words. Ask my wife about it. But one thing on his podcast episode was he said, he's like, we need more tactical strength and conditioning coaches, not strength coaches that are trying to apply what they did in college or high school in the tactical world. Is that, especially as somebody that served and then now serving that population, how old is that true to you?
Oh, yeah. 100% true. I love Matt. Matt's awesome, dude. He's over there at Fort Bragg.
Okay, can you help me with his last name then so I don't sound like a jackwagon anymore?
I wish I could. Like, Mateo? I'm going to go with that?
Mateo. Yeah. Like, I don't. But again, ask my wife. My 7-year-old son comes home from school with like English reading homework, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Like when he comes home and is like, oh, the vowel at the beginning makes the vowel at the end say its name. I'm like, what? Like you're in second grade. Nothing you bring home should like be blowing my mind, but it does.
Oh, every day. I have to send every like written work that I do to somebody else to be like, hey, spell check this. Cause like ChatGPT has been a lifesaver on emails.
So what does it mean to be a tactical, like, you know, I've done the deep dive, coaches have listened to it, but in your opinion, as somebody that's served, where does it ring true for you?
Vacations are meant for you to be outside doing things that you love and reconnecting with your family and your friends and recharging your battery. It is not meant for you to travel and listen to some coach talk in a conference hall and eat some food that you know really isn't the best thing that you want to be eating. Take back your vacations and do so with a Strength Coach Network annual membership. When you purchase an annual membership, you're going to get access to our course, Performance Coaching 101. In the subsequent years, it'll renew and you'll get access to 102 and 103. Each year, you're going to get access to 2 NSCA CEUs and 10 CSCCA CEUs. These CEUs will allow you to be able to learn from the comfort of your office. You'll be able to earn CEUs on your time rather than having to travel. Take back your vacations and be able to do this with a Strength Coach Network annual membership. Click the link down below for more information.
So I would say tactical coach is just like saying, like, tactical military coach is just like saying you're a football specialized strength and conditioning coach, where you're very highly specialized in football. But if I were to drop you in women's basketball, you could figure it out, but it might not be the best or your area of expertise. Where in the tactical setting, especially in the military setting, it's understanding the ins and outs of the demands of that military setting, understanding that population that you're going to work with, like, intricately, and understanding where you can insert yourself and where you can provide the most value and where you need to get out of their way. Like, one thing that was taught to me early on from a number of other people is, like, it's okay to go with the soldiers, to go to training events, to do military things, to learn how they do their job and to be effective and what they do. But that doesn't mean you need to train them on that. You need to train them to support that. Just like in the athletic setting, when we train athletes for their sport. In the tactical setting, people get a little caught up in, I'm training you for the sport. And it's like, no, the sport is life and, like, survival and war in a lot of cases, for some people. And for other people, it might not be. It might be sitting behind a desk for 8 hours a day. We need to understand that population and understand where we can make a difference. And then tactical strength and conditioning coaches, I think what really separates the good ones from the sports coaches that they start applying some of the lessons they learned is they understand where to make the difference and how to support in terms of their programming. They understand that if given 30 minutes, they can take that 30 minutes and make it a quality 30-minute session. They don't need 2 hours to be a good session. I get, like, one thing that I see a lot is I get a lot of soldiers that have almost all of my soldiers have full-time jobs. It's just the nature of the Army Reserve. So I need to help program and make a, like, environment that is supporting not only their full-time job, but also their tactical career. And a lot of times that means that it needs to be very time efficient. And with time efficiency comes, like, you know, maybe I might get an hour during the week to get to train somebody. And how am I going to maximize that hour? And it's, the answer is not throw in a bunch of, like, reverse hypers, banded squats and all sorts of crazy stuff. And that stuff is great. It has its time and place. But when an individual has maybe an hour a week to train, it's what can I cut out of the warm-up to minimize that, to maybe do a little prep work and get them going as fast as possible? What can I remove from the cool down and maybe have them do while they're cooking dinner? Like, you can stretch while you're cooking dinner. Maybe we can do a little bit there. But I think good tactical coaches understand that they are there to support the tactical profession. They're not there to create CrossFit athletes, for lack of a better term. I think that gets people get caught up a little bit and they're like, I want you to look and be like an NFL football player. And it's like, some individuals see this as their job. We are there to help them support their job. Their job does not pay them millions of dollars. Their job pays them a very modest salary. So when it's their off time, they want it to be their off time. They don't want it to be consumed with 3-4 hours of training, nutrition, recovery modalities. They want to maximally and efficiently work out in the off time they have so that they can enjoy it with their families a lot of the time. I know that was,
is
like
that one of the hardest parts possible for young coaches to understand, though, like, just because yes, they're so ingrained and they haven't been taught it at the university level.
Yeah. Yeah. At the university level, you don't have to worry about it. right? Like when I worked at South Carolina, the football players had their schedule laid out for them every day in their locker from their, you know, breakfast all the way through their end of their day. And they had one every day through 7 days a week. You know, your tactical athlete or your tactical professional is going to show up to work and probably not know their schedule. They're going to know on the active side, they're going to have PT in the morning, maybe, if something else doesn't take up the time. And then they're going to have to try and fit training in around that schedule. And it's not, for the most part, it is not the highlight of people's day. It is something they have to do to do their job effectively. We as coaches probably like to train. I'm guessing we all like to train, but the individuals we work with might not like it. So we have to work with them to find what they like to do that can help support their tactical profession.
Man, like, that's just, it reminds me of the corporate wellness stuff. Like you said, just like you're dealing with, again, adults, you're dealing with people where, yeah, it's a completely different population. Yeah, you have to learn how to be able to know the science and sets and reps, so you're not just prescribing 3x10 or 3x12 or these just vanilla programs, and you need to understand how to superset things. But like, yeah, it really is just a different beast.
It is. It's very different than collegiate athletics. And I came from the college athletic side. I was a soldier. Then I worked in college athletics, and then I worked back. Now I work back on the tactical side. I enjoyed college athletics, but it needs to be treated like two separate professions. Almost they overlap a lot, but they are two very separate things. And if you try and dump if I dumped the football strength and conditioning program that Coach Justin and I did at Savannah State with my athletes here, they would look at me and be like, no, like I don't want to do that. Like, why are we doing that?
Well then within that, like, okay, the military and the human performance stuff, like how did Army service and involvement in the HUF program shape the way that you think about human performance compared to that sports stuff? So they would instantly say no to what you just showed, but like, what is things that people would say yes to within that time frame? Like you said, okay, how hard was it to get somebody to be like, hey, you can actually stretch in the middle of cooking dinner or at the end of the day, because you know, now your tissue isn't heated up. So if you stretch when your muscles are cold, and I'm being super high level at this point, but you can get the more lasting changes that you're looking to affect. So like, hey, don't worry about stretching here, like go home, get back there. And then when you're watching TV, hit a couple stretches. Like, is that received well? Do you feel like people are doing that more and more?
Yeah. So I do think it gets received pretty well. I get told a lot, like no one's ever told me I could do that before, or no one's ever told me that is effective. So on Instagram, they reference Instagram a lot. Like, I'm not on Instagram, so I'm not really sure what they reference, but they reference Instagram, you know, men's health, women's health magazines, you know, websites, internet, Pinterest, whatever. You're told you need to like spend an hour a day in a cold tub. You need to go to a sauna for an hour. You need to do an hour of cardio. You need to weightlift for an hour. You need to somehow go surfing for an hour, even if you don't live near the beach. You need to do an hour of meditation. You need to sleep for 8 hours, but preferably 9 or 10. You need to work your 40-hour week job, but also work an extra 20 hours to start your own business and like grind. And you add all that up and there's not enough time in the day to do all those things. So like, what are some of the big levers we can pull in like giving people realistic things they can do? Seems to work pretty well. Like if I tell someone, hey man, go out for a mile run. Like, and they're like, no, I need to run like 5 miles. It's like, nah, just go for a mile. Like, you're running 0 miles right now. So let's run 1 mile and just see where that gets us. A lot of the feedback is like, well, no one's ever told me I could do that before. And then they try it. And it usually goes pretty well. And for some individuals, they develop a like and desire to keep with the fitness program. And for some, it's a check the block that they have to do to get through their, you know, AFT, their fitness test that they have. But, you know, they're a lot better off running a few miles during the week, lifting weights 1 or 2 times during the week for 30 minutes than they are doing nothing at all.
Within the O2X world, like I've had different coaches that have worked in O2X on before. So like, it's again, just another branch. What makes O2X stuff special? Because I mean, you talked about Instagram before, but people have been seeing stuff about O2X doing stuff with the Dallas Cowboys. So like, this is kind of a name that people know, but then it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Team Builder has been my trusted source for online software programs for my athletes since 2019. Since then, they've continued to grow. They have this new practice integration where practice planning can integrate with the sport coach. You have your sports science, your AMS, the questionnaires. They've continued to evolve and keep giving you the things that you need. It has made my life easier as a strength coach. I want the same for you. You do not need to keep printing on lift cards. Please, printing on lift cards in Excel, you don't need to do that. If you need help being able to purchase it, they have a pre-written grant on their website. They're also part owners in the Plyomat with Coach Rich Burnett. So if you need to get a good device that can accurately and validly and quickly get your jump height and ground contact time, so now you can get RSI, Plyomat's a great choice. We utilize that at Goldfinch. Check Team Builder. Check them out in the link down below. Please stop printing on lift cards. It's going to make your life easier. It's going to make your athlete's life easier. It's easier to program on the back end. Check out Team Builder in the link down below.
Is it this? Is it like just help educate people understand that stuff even more too?
Yeah, sure. So O2X, Human Performance, a company founded by three Navy SEALs. They saw a kind of a market or a need for what they received when they were in the military, which was high-level training, to be out for the masses, primarily police, firefighters. You know, we've got some Army and some Air Force contracts, some Navy stuff, a little bit more on the Air Force side, but they're very focused on, like, police and fire. That's where, like, the bulk of the business is. So originally they started off doing workshops. So they would go to these units that bring them in, and they would teach them kind of that Navy SEAL mindset, the things that they learned from their human performance professionals that they could kind of pass on. Then, as it grew, people were like, well, I want O2X professionals on my site 100% of the time to be able to provide this to my you know, officers, my sheriffs, my firefighters, whatever it may be, full time. So they started branching out and doing what they call the OSS program, on-site specialist, through the integrated readiness platform. That's where somebody like myself comes in, and we are full-time, like, I'm a full-time strength and conditioning coach, but on the back end, I also have the full O2X human performance support. So if I need let's say I have a soldier that comes to me, it's like, hey, I need some diet help. I need nutrition help. I can get them referred to either a dietitian that's either in the Army or through O2X, or what I can do is reach out to O2X, speak to a dietitian on their behalf, get their questions answered, and give them a qualified answer. I can also reach back, get education material. We have a ton of education material. So my job is a lot of education. I go to different reserve units, 70 different reserve units throughout the state of Florida. And I would never have enough time to make all the individual education that people ask for, like in a week, in a month. But I can go to the education team and be like, hey, guys, I really need some help. I need to make a presentation on sleep. This is kind of the framework that I have. And they'll look back at either past presentations or kind of gen up a new one for me that hits those blocks. And then I can go present it to the soldiers. So it saves me time and allows me to train my soldiers a lot more, because I'm not spending all my time doing like PowerPoint education stuff. But they're providing that support on the back end. With the Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, they do a lot of mental performance stuff. They're big into the cognitive sports performance, mental performance side with DC Fire. They do a lot with them. And then USA Figure Skating as well, with that mental performance side of sport, like high-end sport, because they're taking that operator or that Navy SEAL high-end mindset and translating it to sport. It turns out high-end athletes have that same mindset that like an Army Ranger or a Navy SEAL would have.
And that's like, how come mental toughness gets so messed up specifically in college athletics, college football, college basketball, being the primary violators of not doing it right?
So this is my opinion. It's just my opinion. Yeah. But I think what happens in college, specifically in college football, I didn't see it as much with like the female sports as I saw with the male sports, but like specifically college football, the coach wants them to do something hard all the time. Right? Like do something hard that'll build mental toughness. Do something hard, like just obscenely hard. I remember once at South Carolina, we had them run. I was not in charge. I was just a like cog in the machine there. But like I watched these guys run an extra like 20 110s because they weren't mentally tough enough to like drive through the line. And I saw it not build mental toughness. I saw it build resentment. And I saw some of the coaches that had made the plan on the sidelines that were not running the maybe the training session, but had made the plan, sit on the sideline and say, like, man, this is messing up our volume for the week. Like, we're going to have to reevaluate the whole program. And I kind of learned from them that maybe just slamming do something hard into athletes isn't the right answer. Whereas in the military, they kind of take a break you down to build you back up mindset. Like, when you go through basic training, you're cut off from your family. You're cut off from when I went through, like, I think it's a little different now. When I went through, you were kind of cut off from everything, and you created a friendship and a support system with those around you. And in a team environment, I think that needs to be the focus, is how do we draw strength and toughness as a team? The best teams I ever worked with and that I've seen kind of work together are not necessarily the most talented teams. The most talented team I worked with won 4 games in a football season. The best team I worked with won 10, and they were not the most talented, but they were excited to come to practice every day. They were excited to work together, and they were like out there to get it. Those guys really enjoyed like being together as a team. And I think that led to a lot of winning when it came to their individual sport.
You were talking about the difference between talented and successful teams, right? Like, yeah. And I saw that happen at Iowa. Like, we had people made fun of us that our team wasn't that talented, but we went 12-0 in the regular season and finished in the AP number 5.
Yeah. Like, I think team environment, motivation.
Hawken Dynamics is my preferred choice for force plates and for handheld dynamometers. Made in the USA up in Maine, I have been using them since 2020 when I was at Towson University. Still use them at Goldfinch today, and I brought the plates to the high school that I've trained at. We will use the plates and transport them when we train athletes at the many different high schools that we currently work at. As I said, they are a handheld dynamometer as well with the true strength. You can assess athlete internal, external rotation, hip, AB, adduction, calf strength, hip, whatever you want to assess, you can do with the true strength. It also has the ability to pair with the difference striking machine. So now you can see single strike, multiple strike. Check out Hawken Dynamics down in the link down below.
Morale has a lot to do with winning games. And then in the military, it has a lot to do with success as a unit. I have worked with some great units. Like the unit I work with now, primarily, like the one that I'm stationed at, is an awesome unit. Yeah. They have great command support. They have awesome teammates. Like, they don't have to come work out at all. They're told they can work out on their own. But at lunch, I have a team of people that works out every day. There's a group that plays pickleball at lunch, like 3 or 4 times a week to get in some physical activity, get away from their desk. There's people out there in the morning, you know, getting their workouts in. I've written like 40, 50 programs for people here so that they can do them on their own. And they check in regularly. We've done consultations. I've done a consultation with nearly every soldier. This unit has an environment where some people told them that they were getting this asset. They wanted to use the asset, and some people had good experience. They told everybody else they had a good experience. And now, like myself and the O2X, you know, resources that we're able to provide are accepted and used pretty regularly. But because they have a good culture, like they're friendly with each other. They built pickleball courts in the drill hall so that they could play pickleball like pretty regularly. And it's a good camaraderie builder, right? And it's primarily division staff, like division command. So it's a lot of think like admin duties. They don't get out from behind their computer very often. So like, playing pickleball for 45 minutes during the day is a great break. It's a great mental performance break. It's a great physical break. And then they have the leadership that supports them in doing that. Like, they could have made a big thing about it, told them, no, don't do that. But the leadership supports them in what they do. So it's a good environment. And this unit is largely successful. They do not have people failing their AFT. They do not have people failing height and weight. They have, and those that do struggle, they support them and help them through it. So I think in the same sense that like morale is very important, like you said at Iowa, you guys had a team that came together, having a military unit that comes together. And then as a strength coach, it's not your job to like force that camaraderie, but it's your job to help support that camaraderie. Identify the individuals that maybe want to run physical training, that want to help you with physical training, that they're interested in. Don't force people to do it, but try to identify the strengths that people have and highlight those strengths. It's a lot like leadership. Like, I've always found leadership, like in leadership, my job was to make sure that everyone who worked under me was successful in what they did and successful in what they wanted to do. And it, you just think about it a lot that way as being a strength coach in the tactical setting, is you are leading these soldiers in the physical realm. So how can you make them successful?
Is that something that coaches working in tactical don't understand? Is not everybody's going to be a soldier that they're working with. Some of them are just are people that are working, you know, at whatever the base is, and like, hey, they want to go and exercise. Like, you're not always training Rambo or Captain America, for lack of a better term.
I think it is generally getting accepted more and more. When I started doing this in 2021, came from a special operations background. So I kind of had the mindset, like, everyone's going to come in here motivated, just like I was. It's not the case. Figured that out very fast. And I think some individuals took that as a, like, I'm not a good coach because I can't motivate them. And some individuals took that as a, like, hey, you know, it's not my job. These are adults performing a job. It's my job to help them out and provide that service if they need it. I shouldn't be forcing you to do anything. And now I think a lot of coaches coming in have managed that expectation, and that gets conveyed pretty well. Like, we've been at it for a while now here in the regular Army and the Army Reserve. So I think that expectation gets conveyed pretty well. Whether people believe it or not is kind of like, not really sure. I have been asked from a lot of the younger people, like coming out of college, they're like, it must be nice working with a super motivated population. I'm like, what motivated population? Like, they're, it's gen pop. Like, it's general population. Half are motivated, half are like, man, I don't really want to.
What has been some of the biggest questions that you do get asked the most? So that, like, hey, let's get on the front end of it. Like, all right, you know, you're usually getting these type of questions. What are they? And let's tell everybody now, so you're not having to get asked these when you're at, you know, TSAC or any other conferences where you're seeing people, and it can be hopefully some new questions. Like, what are the FAQs you get?
All right. So number one is definitely about like motivation. It's like, they either have a misconception that everyone is very motivated, or they're like, how do you motivate your soldiers? They're like, I've been working in this field for a little while and I can't get anyone to do anything. And then, you know, my first, my response is usually, well, how often do you leave behind your computer and spend time with the tactical athletes? Like, how often are you like, do you go to the range with them? Do you hang out in the co-op with them? And they're like, no, why would I do that? And it's like, do that. Like, absolutely do that. A friend of mine who worked in professional sports, I described this job to him and he said, like, it's a lot like professional athletes. Like, we can go out to dinner with a professional, like, basketball player that he coaches, and it's not weird. It's just like something you do, right? You're friends, you're working towards a common goal. But on the college side, if you went out with your players and like went out and hung out with dinner, that'd be weird. That'd be real weird. But these are adults. They're like, my average soldier's age, like 34. Like, they're adults. You can have an adult conversation with somebody and get some buy-in that way. Like, treat them like adults. Don't treat them like college kids. They don't want to be treated like college kids. The second thing is understanding. Like,
powerlift has been my choice for strength and conditioning equipment ever since I got into the field. Right now, I still have their racks. I have their barbells. I have their bumpers, specialty bars, and we have the IMTP device at Goldfinch, and it's been great for us because it's allowed us to free up the rack where we used to have to do the IMTPs. Now, we use that IMTP device, roll it around. We've created more space. You have to check them out. Doesn't matter if in your college, high school, pro, tactical, or private, they have the ability to make whatever customizations and whatever adjustments you need. I was a part of the weight room that was the 32 brand new rack facility at Iowa football. You see what they did for TCU football. Doesn't matter how big, how small, whatever your customizations are, powerlift is number one in the exercise equipment space for a reason. Check them out in the link down below.
Some of the soldiers that I've worked with that have really bought in the most, that are advocates for the program today, they will go to every unit they get PCS to. They talk about it, how great their coach was, how great the program was, how great like their O2X system was. Because I sat down, like, I know, like, one example jumps out, like, at me. I sat down in her office and we talked, and she gave me her goals. We talked a little while. And instead of saying, like, that's, you know, like, you're wrong or anything like that, I was like, okay, that's a goal we can work towards. Like, how do you think we can get towards that goal? And, like, we had a full-on hour-long conversation in didn't have to sell her on anything. We just came up with some goals that were realistic. We came up with a really good plan and understanding. And she said I was the first coach. Sorry, there's like an airplane going overhead now. She said I was the first coach who didn't tell her, like, you know, that try to force a goal onto her, try to force her into a certain, like, working out a certain way or something. I was just like, hey, what do you like to do? Well, we can modify that. Like, we can work with that. So being understanding, being patient, spending time with your tactical individuals, your soldiers, and then learning the organization that you're a part of. Like, if you work for a fire department, mm-hmm. learn the fire department. Learn who's in charge of the fire department. Learn the ranks. Talk like the firefighters talk. It was easy for me because I came from the Army, and people ask me this one all the time. They're like, how hard was it to learn the Army? And I was like, dude, my dad was in the Army. I took my first PT test when I was 9 years old. Like, I was raised in the Army. Like, getting into the Army was like second nature for me. Like, I'm third generation Army. Like, I understand the Army. But if you drop me in the Air Force, I'd be like, I don't know what's going on here. Like, I got to spend some time to learn. So learning your environment is super important, because then you speak the language. I can throw out a bunch of acronyms that nobody understands, but if I walk into like an ops shop, like the operations center here, I can throw out all those acronyms and they're like, oh, I know exactly what you need. Like, come here, I'll help you out. So spend some time learning. And you don't learn without integrating yourself into the lifestyle of the people you're working with. And I think that's a big change for like the college coaches, because college coaches, in my experience, there was a very separate, like, coaches are over here, athletes are over here. And there's inherent respect for the coach, and there's an inherent, like, job for the coach to coach. And that's given to them by the head football coach or the head sports coach. In the Army, you don't have that. Like, a colonel or somebody important might say, use this coach. And they're like, nods head, and they're like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. You're like, how? What do you do? And then you have to explain what you do, and you have to put it in terms that they understand.
I think that's one of the biggest misnomers for strength coaches coming from college or even high school, is the fact that you're so used to the players have to use you. And it's, you don't really have to create, like, you can, if you want to try to get better buy-in, but you can still kind of just blame the individual. Oh, well, they don't want to. Oh, well, they don't want to. And it's like, from everything I'm hearing, that's not something that is said or would be accepted in tactical S&C.
No. Like, oh my God. Like, I was like, I had a soldier I worked with, and he's just, I was talking to him, you know, we're friendly. And I'm like, you want to come work out? And he's like, nah.
Vitruv has been my choice for VBT for years now, not only because of the encoder and how well it works with the app, and you can film movements with the camera and get live variable feedback in real time if you so choose to on the app, but the fact of the amount of content they have been pushing out to help coaches better understand VBT. It's not only just to move the bar faster. You can be working on what's the appropriate load for high rep sets based off velocity loss. You can be looking at velocity loss threshold between sets, in between reps. VBT is not just moving the bar fast. It's moving the bar fast with heavy weights. It's not just moving lightweight fast. And Vitruv has been at the forefront educating coaches on VBT and how to do it the right way. Check them out in the link down below.
Like, and I'm like, okay. So I helped him out with a different problem. Like, I helped him out with something he didn't even know was available. He had a wife who was not in the Army, who was going through, they were having a kid for the first time. So I printed off and got him the Army pregnancy and then post-pregnancy like guide that they have. And it's a nice little workout guide, kind of walks you through some of the benefits of the Army, some of the things that, not really like in my job description, other than the small little workout plan. A lot of the benefits that she can get access to, a lot of the individuals that you can talk to get extra help. I gave it to him and he was like, oh my God, like, this is great. This is exactly what I've been looking for. I didn't even know this existed. This dude tells everybody, go work out with me. Like, a new soldier comes in, he's like, go work out with Mark. He didn't work out with me, but talks about it all the time. Like, it tells everyone, is real nice about it. So like getting buy-in sometimes is stepping out of your comfort zone and helping people, just kind of helping people out. We have a huge knowledge base. Like, our knowledge base on human performance and health and wellness is, we might not think it's a lot, but it's more than those around us. And we can provide insight for those individuals. And when they tend to trust you, then you got that. You got the buy-in made after that. When they trust you, you're good.
And I mean, yeah, anybody listening to that, they're like, wait a minute, I'm sure that does apply. Like, yes, that does apply. College, high school, yeah. Professional, private sector. Like, but too many people don't, like you said, get behind there. They don't get away from their computer. They don't put time on the floor. Like, you spell love, T-I-M-E. Like, you got to spend time with these people to build those relationships. And that's why I've talked about the book, The Like Factor, many times. You have to turn people's like, yes, or like switch. Not light switch of L-I-G-H-T, but L-I-K-E. Get people to like you, and you do that by spending time with them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, spend a lot of time with soldiers. I try to spend as much time as I can. My job right now, I spend time on the reserve soldiers are only there. Some of them are only there 1 weekend a month. So it's really important to be there that weekend. Like, you have to prioritize being there that weekend. Like, I work a lot of weekends, and then I get time off during the week. It's a weird schedule. But I have to be there those weekends. And I may only get a few hours during that weekend of touch points with those soldiers. So if I'm not there, if I miss 2 weekends or I miss a weekend, I'm out of sight, out of mind, man. Like, they're not going to look for me. They're not going to use me. But I go to a battle assembly or drill weekend, and I hit like maybe 2 units that are at a reserve center. And all of a sudden, I'm 10, 15 consultations deep. I got people emailing me. I got people asking for programs. If I don't show up again, because some of my farther units, I'm on a quarterly kind of rotation just because the distance traveled. So I'll go up there a quarter. I get a lot of engagement for like a week or two afterwards. And then, you know, it falls off for like a few months. Then I come back in a lot of engagement for like a week or two, and then it falls off. And I haven't solved that problem. Like, I don't know how to solve that problem. I try to offer virtual things. It's just when you're out of sight, you're out of mind. And it's hard to really push through that. Especially in as large a territory as the state of Florida. It's a little much.
Speaking of the state of Florida, you know, doing things for the NSCA advisory board for the state. Let's talk about that. Like, what does that type of stuff look like for you?
Yeah. So I'm on the Florida NSCA advisory board. We are having our state clinic November 8th. And that'll be at the University of Central Florida. If anyone out there is from Florida and wants to attend, I'll be there handing out t-shirts, the NSCA t-shirts, sign up. But one thing that a big thing that we do is that state clinic to try to get students and young professionals engaged. And then we bring in speakers just like you would at any NSCA, conference. Speakers come in. Those speakers usually have a lot of experience. And they're there, yes, to talk, but most of the time they want to like meet people who are interested in what they're interested in. So if you are interested, I know we have one of my like favorite speakers, Kelsey Moore, is like leading off the Florida State Clinic. Like, she's great. She's super smart. I'm talking about working with female warfighters. If that is an interest of yours, I guarantee you she wants to talk about it when she's done talking. So like, grab her at that conference. But also, that's a great networking opportunity. Get internships. Like, get internships, get jobs.
Dasher has completely changed the game for how I'm able to time my athletes, whether I'm doing ACEL, Max Velo, or Curvilinear running. Had the blues, had the blacks at Goldfinch. Now that I have the silvers, this has saved me so much time in setup. Breakdown if I'm going from Ankeny to Huxley, or from Ankeny to the Nevada location, or Nevada to Huxley. Like, wherever I got to go time athletes, it has made my ability to go from one place to another so much easier with the silvers. Strength coaches that have to go from one field to the other, or from the field to the court, this will help you save time. Now, in the spirit of saving time, you also have the ability to have an API interaction with Team Builder, so now you can see all the data on the back end. Seeing data on the back end, Dasher has a free app, a player profile app, that'll allow athletes to see their data. Over 6,000 coaches and athletes have done so. And if you want more than just the timing gates, if you check them out in the link down below, they have solutions to help you out with vertical jump, broad jump, RSI, all that. Check them out in the link down below.
Those things all happen at state clinics and at local level clinics. National clinics are cool. Like, they're big, right? But at state clinics, you get to meet the people that are like really involved in the same profession you are in your local area. And you usually have a little more time to like network. And then you can usually set something up to maybe do a site visit. So don't push those off. I think those are really important. And then the other thing I'm trying to get a little bit more involved in through the NSCA is the professional development group. For the tactical professional development group, they're on LinkedIn. It's a private group. It's kind of hard to find. Trying to change that. But they have a professional development group. And right now, the professional development group is primarily run by PhDs. And there's one or two working coaches in that group. So we are trying to get coaches a little bit more involved in that professional development group. One thing that we'd like to start is a mentor network for tactical professionals where they can reach out. Already done this a few times for people that have reached out through the group, but just provide some general advice, provide job openings, and then provide a path for especially prior service military personnel who maybe are looking to get a college degree or already have a college degree, a path to become a strength and conditioning coach. It is a good profession for former military individuals, you know, discipline. Yeah. A lot of military individuals like their fitness and wellness. It is a little more informal than working behind a desk, showing up in a suit every day. So some people really get gravitated towards that. And the camaraderie is there. It's very similar. Working with teams is very similar to being part of a team in the military. You know, yeah. A lot of people in the military gravitate towards it because of the team environment, the one team, one fight. You can have that as a strength and conditioning coach or as a sports coach. But we're trying to provide pathways for those individuals through internships and mentorship so that they can get into this career field. A lot of individuals PC or ETS and getting out of the military are in their 30s. They have a family doing 4 internships across the country through different sports programs, not super conducive to their lifestyle, right? But if we can set them up with maybe 1 tactical internship at a local base that they're at, maybe as they finish their time in the military or right when they get out while they're going to school, they now have a little bit of experience to draw on. They, you know, get their CSCS, get a college degree. We can help them get a career in strength and conditioning with a population that they fully understand.
I think your point about the NSCA, they're trying to get coaches back into all of the NSCA, regardless of the PDGs and SIGs, because I'm on some PDGs and SIGs, and, you know, the college strength conditioning PDG, like the whole notion is how to get strength coaches back interested in the NSCA because strength coaches had left. So, yeah, you're right. Like trying to get, you know, tactical strength conditioning coaches instead of researchers, like that's something that has definitely become a priority, and that's awesome that you guys are having that clinic. Like in terms of how much it's been promoted and looking like a great event, like that does seem like something that like very well done. I even said something to the Iowa State Advisory Board that I'm on, like, hey man, like should I go down there to try to figure out how to plan our event in 2026, like, you know, doing it right like they are.
Yeah, it's going pretty well. Gotta give a shout out to Melissa Mercado from Team Builder. She built our Instagram page for that that event and the Florida Advisory Board. And she's like really trying to promote that and get a little more traction there to try and get the word out about things. One of the NSCA shortfalls is like no one knows about anything going on. It's like they don't tell anybody about anything. So like hopefully like Instagram can be a way to do that.
Oh, go ahead. Speaking of not telling anybody, what is something about you that people don't know that you wish people would know about you? Like what's something that you're like, man, people don't know this about me, or like people never ask my opinion on this, but like I really have some like good knowledge on this topic and I just feel like it's being wasted that you don't get to share on it.
So I wish people would ask me a little bit more about like wellness focused questions. I get a lot of physical questions. How do I like, you know, work out my chest? How do I work out my back? How do I like, you know, improve my runtime, that kind of stuff. But a lot of that starts with wellness focused questions. Like how do I get a little bit more sleep? How do I improve my nutrition? I'm not a registered dietitian and they always get mad at me because I give nutrition advice, but like, I can deal with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like how do I improve my sleep? How do I improve my nutrition? How do I like gain enjoyment while working out? So like in that area, I think that we as strength coaches, generally just our whole field has a lot of knowledge. And sometimes we are not trusted as much as maybe someone on Instagram who does like a cool video with like an ice bath and like a massage chair, a bunch of weird stuff, because we're not as in your face in public about that. That is a secondary duty to our like performance job. But I think our field in general has a huge wealth of knowledge in the wellness, general wellness space. And as our population gets older, leveraging the strength and conditioning coaches who can provide not only the physical aspect of things, but also some of that nutrition and some of that mental side, as well as some of the general wellness side, can be really useful for longevity as a whole. And like, we know the population's getting older. I see my parents, you know, they're getting older and they're both very physically active. But I hope that a lot of people see their parents getting older and are like, I wonder how we can get mom and dad to move a little bit more so that, you know, when they're 65, 70 years old, we can all go to, you know, vacation together and it's not an issue, right? So I would love to work a little bit more in that space, like after me, and then like after people leave the military, that lifelong health and wellness.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's kind of something that I've been doing in addition to training the athletes up the road at Goldfinch or doing all things Strength Coach Network. Like I've been helping some people that are in their encore season of life. Like they've kind of done an encore is like, hey, what's coming next? We're excited for the next thing. And so that group of individuals being able to kind of serve them and help them and being able to pour into that, like that's something that I'm super adamant about and have been doing in person and remote for a little bit now.
That's awesome, man. That's great. That is, it's such a good population to work with because they're working towards a very like tangible goal to be able to continue to move and live longer, like healthier lives.
Correct. Correct. And then even within that, it's like, okay, hey, like you want a specific thing. Cause they're like, hey, instead of just working out, I want to train for something. So it's like, all right, maybe you're going to have to walk a 5K. And it's like, okay, can you keep a 20-minute mile walk pace for 3 point whatever miles? Like do a 5K walk in under an hour. Like that's a goal for certain people. And then maybe you just continue to scale things from there and you're just older population. It's like, hey, can you still run a 10-minute mile? Cause that's a pretty good, like you should be able to hit that. And if not, being able to take care of all the other health markers, like that's just how low and important it is for people to do.
Absolutely.
Mark, I've greatly appreciated you coming on the show and, you know, we fought some internet issues, but the internet did not win. We won, brother.
Man, that's the internet rarely loses, but we won today.
The internet lost today. We took it down, brother. So,
We did.
Hey, I know you went to Iowa State. So anytime you're ever visiting, I'm in Ankeny. I am 25 minutes south of Ames. If you're ever in central Iowa, brother, slide through.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we're trying to plan a college buddies trip next football season. We'll hit you up and get something arranged.
For sure, man. And I know the staff over there, Coach Reed Cagey, is a great guy. And my wife works with the orthopedic surgeon that works for the team. So, man, I'd love to be able to connect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Well, you enjoy the rest of your day, Mark, and it was great chatting again, brother.
You too, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for watching that video. If you enjoyed it, click right here for videos just like that, and make sure you click here to subscribe to our channel. Have a great rest of your day.